Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Fan in Baltimore at Ken Weinman Sport on Twitter. Ken, thanks for joining us. First off, all right, was this real or was this some sort of a dream about Lamar Jackson? Can you take it seriously because it happened against the Miami Dolphins?
So I think it's possible that two things can be true, that the Dolphins are terrible, but Lamar Jackson was also really good. His passes were incredibly accurate the whole game, basically hitting guys in stride constantly. I can't remember the last time I saw Joe Flacco do that. So, and I told you guys the last time I was on Joe that Lamar can throw. I don't think it's going to be tough to duplicate what he did on Sunday. But I think he served notice to people that stacking the box against the Ravens could cause problems for your defense.
Let's talk about Marquise Brown, who was a first-round pick, taken 25th overall. Some people were wondering, well, is a rookie really going to be able to be on the same page? And he comes in and just dominates with the four catches, the huge, huge plays, 147 yards and two touchdowns. How impressed have you guys been with Marquise Brown?
So it's interesting, because of the Lisfranc surgery, he didn't start practicing right away. And then once he did, they've sort of slow rolled him out where he'd practice a couple days and take a day off. He did not practice the Friday before the game on Sunday. We were curious to see how much he would play. Only played 14 snaps, but and you guys, when you're standing there like a training camp, you're on the sideline, the different kind of speed that Marquise Brown has, it just, TV doesn't do it justice. He looks like a Porsche the way he can accelerate. And it was incredibly impressive to see him have a game like that right away. And you guys know the history of the Ravens and drafting receivers. He might already be the best Ravens drafted receiver of all time after one game.
Do I really comment on how the defense looked against the Miami Dolphins? I mean, serious. I don't know how to. I watched the game over again, Ken, and I was like, hey, this is a really impressive performance, but you're taking on a team that's basically openly tanking and their own players want to be traded out of there, even though they should probably just take their money-paying job and go on.
So the defense looked good, but the Dolphins' offensive line stinks. My understanding is as well that there were some Dolphins receivers running free at times. There was some confusion in the secondary, especially after Jimmy Smith got hurt. But fortunately, you did it against Miami. You have time to clean some of that up. I think, yeah, the defense, there were some plays there for Miami. The thing for me, it was good to see them at least mount some sort of pass rush, because that's been a question we've had about the Ravens heading into the season. But, again, you have to caveat that with Miami's offensive line stinks.
Well, you were on the road in week one, and then you get ready for week two, which is always going to be a big week, because then you start to figure out who's real and who's not, at least to start to make some good, strong conclusions about it. Now you're taking on Arizona, who did have a great big comeback. What do you expect from Kyler Murray over here?
Well, Kyler Murray looked terrible in the first half and then looked really good in the second half. He creates some similar problems that Lamar Jackson does, in that he's mobile, but he had a better reputation for throwing coming in than Lamar did. And they've got some good receivers, obviously Larry Fitzgerald, and also it's a homecoming for Terrell Suggs. And Suggs, who I like to call September Suggs because he's good early in the season, but at his age, he disappears late. He had two sacks last week, so it will be interesting to see what he does in his homecoming, basically, you know, coming back to Baltimore after spending his whole career here. So that's a nice side plot, though. John Harbaugh did not want to talk about that at all this week.
At Ken Weinman Sport on Twitter, 105.7 The Fans, Ken Weinman. Ken, thank you for the time, buddy. We'll talk to you again next week. We welcome in Mo Egger. Mo Egger, 1530 on Twitter, ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati, where the Bengals lost, but Mo played a really good game on Sunday afternoon up in Seattle.
Yeah, if you listen to a lot of Bengals fans, if you listen to just the tone, you wouldn't think that they lost a game that was theirs for the taking, that frankly they should have won. And I think that's in large part because this team just looked better prepared. I think they were more aggressive than they were at any point over the last couple of years of the Marvin Lewis era. And I think that's what we were all doing in game one. You know, that's the big unknown. The players are mostly the same. It's obviously the same organization. How does a different coaching staff leave an immediate mark and make an immediate impact? And I just think with scheme flexibility that we didn't see with Marvin Lewis, with aggressiveness at the end of the first half that we didn't see with Marvin Lewis, and I just think with an overall level of preparedness by this team that we really didn't see over the last couple of years, I think most fans are more encouraged about that than they are disappointed with the fact that they lost the game.
Maybe some fans will disagree, but in watching the game over yesterday, I thought that Zach Taylor did a really nice job of not trying to do a mirror image of the Rams, but taking Andy Dalton, knowing the strengths, knowing the weaknesses, and devising the offense to really accentuate those positives.
Yeah, the one thing Andy is really good at is getting rid of the ball quickly. And look, in that environment against that defensive line, you're worried about the offensive line. If you're going to have Andy drop back there and hope that he can, you know, let receivers get downfield and have time to do that, that's not his strength. First of all, that's not what his arm does well. Second of all, it's probably not playing to the strengths of this offensive line, if it has any. So, yeah, it was, we're going to have him throw a lot. He threw 51 times, but it was high-percentage stuff. It was, you know, the stuff that the Seattle defense was going to give you. And then occasionally, as you saw at the end of the first half, you can take a shot downfield. But the fact that Andy Dalton leads the NFL in passing yardage behind that offensive line after a road game without A.J. Green, I think speaks to a lot of things, and I think primarily what you just alluded to, which was Zach Taylor's game plan.
Giovanni Bernard and Joe Mixon just could not get things going with a running game. It was rough for the Bengals there. They've got any shot this year if they can't run the football?
No. I think, unfortunately, if the idea is to have Andy chuck it 51 times, that's a recipe for disaster. At some point, they're going to have to get production on the ground. Now, I tend to think that Joe Mixon's yardage from what it was last year, which he led the AFC in rushing, I think that might come down a little bit, A, because I do think they want to involve Giovanni Bernard more, and B, I think they are going to throw to him more on plays that are essentially runs, a lot of first down throws to the running backs. But you're right. Behind this offensive line, they've got to figure out a way to get those two players going, and that's a dicey proposition against behind this line. They were okay against Seattle. They're going to have to be a heck of a lot better moving forward.
San Francisco looked pretty damn good. They're in town coming up this Sunday, 1 p.m. on Fox. Do fans feel, because of the good outing they had against Seattle, that this is a winnable game?
Yeah, and frankly, I think it's been winnable all along. Now, would it surprise me if the Bengals didn't win? By no stretch. There's a lot of people who thought this team was going to come out of the gate 0-4, but it is winnable. I'm not sure who Jimmy Garoppolo really has to throw to. He was shaky in the preseason. He is still relatively unproven as a starter, but you worry about that defensive front. You worry about what guys like Nick Bosa, who was fantastic against Tampa Bay, can do, and that's going to be the primary concern all year long. I mean, we'll talk about this every single week, and every single week I'll mention how shaky the offensive line is, how many guys they're moving in and out of position, that kind of thing. So I think that is the primary concern for the Bengals. Obviously, got to find out a lot more about Joe Mixon's ankle. And just because the defense, which was the worst in the league last year, held up pretty well against Seattle, that doesn't mean that we count on them having a bang-up performance against San Francisco.
Mo, we thank you very much. We'll be talking to you next week, my friend. We welcome in Andrew Filippone. Find him on Twitter at the Pony Express 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh, where, boy, I bet he was ready and raring to go to talk trash on Sunday afternoon. But Tom Brady and the Patriots surely shut you up, my friend.
Ken, rewind the tape. Didn't I come on the show last week and say the Patriots were going to destroy the Steelers?
Yeah, but that doesn't fit my narrative, so I wasn't going to ask you that like that.
Oh, okay. How are you, pal?
We're doing very well.
Pony, which loss was worse, though? Which one was worse? Because at first I thought ours was, and then I said, you know what, though? Now I bet some Steeler fans think, well, we can't get past that team. Season's over. Which one's worse?
I think it's got to be the Browns' loss, because when the season game-by-game prediction machine got rolling, a home win over the Titans was put in maybe permanent marker. And for every Steelers fan, for as Pollyanna as they might be, you know, when you're going into New England, it's like a leopard jumping off a cliff. You know, you're going to lose the game. So that's what I predicted.
Excuse me.
Fans
Excuse
here,
me.
Doesn't matter, 33-32 or 33-3, a loss is a loss. And yeah, I mean, the Steelers are not going to beat the Patriots ever in a game that matters. So from that perspective, sure, it's defeatist, but I think the rest of the AFC is there for the taking.
So I want to know, did they take some of your brain matter when you had the reconstructive surgery instead of the cheek? Because that is asinine. That's crazy. But the Browns, hey, for all intents and purposes, while we thought the Browns were going to be better and it was a 9-month lead up to this, the Browns losing an opener has happened now 16 straight times. This was supposed to be Ben's revenge, Pony. This was supposed to be the Steelers are back. No more distractions.
Better leadership.
No more Brown. No more Bell. Better leadership. Juju Smith-Schuster. And you were embarrassed again. We're trying to fight up to be compared with the Steelers and New England Patriots. You're compared with them every single year, and you're giving me this, well, ho-hum, it happens every single year. What? Yeah, that is a defeatist, slack-ass attitude, my friend. That's a shame.
Well, wait a minute here. This idea that the Browns, it's, baby steps here is bull-dingy. That's not true. The odds makers in Vegas said the Browns were every bit as good, if not better.
And the odds makers in Vegas only move the odds to move money. You know that as well as I do, Pony. Let's not get crazy here.
So let me ask you a question. When you went on the air the day before the season started, who did you pick to make the playoffs, the Browns or the Steelers?
I picked them both.
What team did you pick to have a better record?
I picked the Browns.
Okay. So there you go. So you put the cart before the horse like they've done in Cleveland every year. Last time they won an opener, Jeff Garcia was the quarterback.
I put the
you got
cart
your
before
big wide
the
receiver.
Horse.
Everybody's
what
going crazy mean? About him. He's wearing a $350,000 watch.
It's just because you can't afford it. That's why you hate it. It doesn't matter about the price of the watch. What does it matter about the price of the watch?
That again.
Why does it matter about the price of the watch? I want to know what's the matter with the price of the watch. If it was a $45 Seiko, would you be saying anything? Exactly.
I don't think he'd be wearing a $45 fake Rolex.
No, because that's not about his brand. You know what his brand is. His brand is about
right,
high money
and
high dollar.
And that is why the Browns remind me of last year's Steelers. It's a lot of hot air.
Oh,
it's a lot of hype. It's a lot of brand making. And look, maybe addition by subtraction here will end up being subtraction by subtraction.
Huh?
That could very well be the case. But I'm not going to write off the Steelers because they went to New England and lost. If the Steelers had opened with the Titans at home, I, Joe Namath, guarantee you they would have won that game, and you could have taken it to the bank that the Steelers would not have gotten beaten at Heinz Field by, the 17th best team in the NFL by 30 points.
All right, if somebody jumps into the stands in Pittsburgh, do they get doused with beer? If a player, an opposing player?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Really?
I think if it happened, I've never seen it happen before, Lima. Why? Does that happen in Cleveland? I don't know.
It happened on Sunday.
Oh.
I'm actually trying to call the NFL office about it.
Welcome
they to
said
the show.
FAB in Oakland. You hear that? That was cute.
Yeah, that was something there. I tell you that. Should I ask you about Antonio Brown and this latest problem that's going on?
You know what, Ken? Obviously Twitter is like the bathroom stall of the internet. So what you see is what you get on there, mostly from fans and people, including myself sometimes.
Oh, yeah. You're
but,
a terrible
I'm like, I can't believe how many people want to make a joke out of that, especially here. Like, to me, a lot of talk has been made about, like, the text messages he sent her. I'm not even going to get into any of that. I think, you let the legal process play out. I guess Adam Schefter went on our sister station in Boston today and said that Brown's going to practice no problem. Like, there's nothing going on there, so. Who knows?
All right. Pony, I hate you, but I love you. We'll talk to you again soon.
Steelers over the Seahawks on Sunday, boys. Back on track. Talk to you later.
Yeah, we'll see if you walk that one back, you pig. Andrew Filippone, the latest one of Around the AFC North and the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.